Open your Bibles to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. We continue our study today in this marvelous New Testament book. And we come to two new verses today. Jude chapter 1, and notice verses 17 and 18. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the worship. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the praying. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. And now as we turn to this wonderful text, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Give us a resolve to know you and love you and to think your thoughts after you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Dealing with deceivers. Dealing with deceivers. Notice the picture, a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we continue our study with the book of Jude and the false teachers, but there's an interesting turn here in verse 17. Jude has spent a lot of energy to help us think wisely about false teachers, and now he turns to the believers. He puts some responsibility on our shoulders. He teaches us how to deal with deceivers who have infiltrated the people of God and seek to cause spiritual harm to others. I want to ask this question: how do we deal with spiritual deceivers? How do we deal with those who would infiltrate the work of God and turn our hearts away? We can look on a local level, we can look on a global level. How do we deal with that very real dynamic today, that there is God's truth and there is the devil's truth? There's false truth. The devil's truth is not true, it's false. There is the teaching of the devil. How do we recognize that? How do we deal with those who espouse that which is false but call it true? Well, first of all, we need to understand the contrast. Understand the contrast. Jude has been talking from verse 8 forward about these men. Notice verse 8, likewise also these. Verse 10, but these. Verse 11, woe to them. Verse 12, these are. Verse 14, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men. Verse 16, these are, and there were five characteristics there. And now verse 17, he says, but you. You see that? But you. So he's been teaching line after line after line about these false teachers that infiltrate the people of God. And now he turns full attention and he says, but you. I love this. There are 27 characteristics that I've delineated in verses 8 through 16. You can do your own study and just start writing them down as you go through, verse by verse, line by line. And if my count is accurate, I found 27 different ones. And these didn't even include the ones that are in verse 4. Certain men have crept in unnoticed, long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's like the summary statement. And then the book continues to unfold these truths. So there are 27 characteristics about these deceivers. And now he addresses the saints, the beloved ones. But you, and you is actually the first word in the original text, you. He's turning their attention to them. Notice what he calls them. I love this. Beloved. Ones who have been loved. If you go back to verse 1, it says, Jude, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified, but some Bibles will say beloved by God the Father. Beloved by God the Father. And so those who are beloved are the ones to whom he is writing. Verse 17, he says, but you, beloved, and look ahead to verse 20, but you, beloved ones. So it seems as though he's saying, no matter what goes on all around you, no matter what the deceivers do, here's what you need to do. Here's what you believers need to do. He turns his attention to the saints in verse 17, back to the false teachers in verses 18 and 19, and then back to the saints in verses 20 and 21 as he begins to bring his little epistle to a close. There is a powerful lesson here for us. And the lesson is this, this biblical principle that no matter what goes on around us in the world, we have to do the right thing before God. It is so easy for people to say, well, you know, but look at so-and-so. But look at so-and-so. So-and-so is not the issue. What are we doing before the Lord? So Jude says, yes, this is what's going on all around you, my beloved, but here's what I want you to do. It is so important that we have our eyes in the right place on the Word of God and on the God of the Bible. I see this also in 2 Timothy. Look at this. Go back just a few books and let's see 2 Timothy. It's a little formula that Paul uses to Timothy, and I just love it. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. And this is repeated in 2 Timothy, but let's look at this one. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, and it is literally you, but the you is first again, talking to Timothy. Here's what you do, Timothy. This is what they're doing. They're going to become worse and worse. They're going to deceive and be deceived. But Timothy, here's what you do. And notice what he says, verse 14. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Yes, Timothy, there are going to be imposters, deceivers. They're going to get worse. But you, here's what you do. Keep on following the Word of God. Keep on listening to the dictates of Scripture that you have known since you were a baby. So here is a powerful principle. Let me apply that to our lives today. There's chaos, there's evil, there are lies, there's false teaching. There are all kinds of stuff going on in our world today. Does that give us an excuse to turn away from the Lord? Absolutely not. It gives us every reason to turn to the Lord and know that we are beloved. And so that's what Jude is doing here. So in dealing with infiltrators who come into the people of God with false teaching, we have to know what God has given to us. We need to understand the contrast. Yes, that's what they're doing, but here's what I need to do. I need to focus on the Lord. I need to look to Him, and I cannot look at others as an excuse for me as a believer not doing the right thing before God and not following His Word. Well, notice the second thing on how to deal with these false teachers. Respond to the command. Back to Jude, verse 17. But you, beloved, and here's the command, remember. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just think about this a little bit. Jude is urging us to think. Remember. Think. Have you ever kind of knocked on your noggin and said, think, 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 when you're trying to remember something? I think that's what we should do here with the Word of God. Think, think, think. Remember. I think Jude is trying to get the people to do that. I want you to remember something. He's urging us to think. And brothers and sisters, there is a desperate need for biblical thinking today. A desperate need for biblical thinking. We live in a confused age, and who is going to have God's truth? Who is going to think God's thoughts? It needs to be God's people. A desperate need for believers to think biblically. Have you ever gone into a home and you're trying to carry on a conversation and you can't because the TV is on and it's loud and you're trying to talk over it and it's just really hard? It's the standard diet of, I would say, many Americans, and I think, sadly, many Christians, that all day long they have the TV on. And sometimes it might be on a news channel. I was in a business recently trying to have a conversation, and the news was on in the background. It should not be a surprise to us that the secular media is no friend to biblical Christianity. And if we let them do all our thinking for us, we're going to end up with messed up thinking. We need to think God's thoughts and evaluate according to the plumb line of Scripture. So there's a great need today for biblical thinking. We cannot afford to respond to issues based on our feelings. Well, I feel this way about this, or I feel that way about that. What does it say about Scripture, and how does it align or not align with the teaching of the Word of God? We must respond based on truth, fact, and biblical logic. That's how we need to think. Name the issue. That's how we need to respond. Truth, fact, and biblical logic. The Lord wants us to love Him with our minds. Listen to Mark chapter 12, verse 30 from Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So this is a good thing to think biblically, to love God with our minds, to apply our minds to the tenets, the truths, the axioms of Scripture. Isaiah 8:20 said, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. A wonderful tool is the plumb line of Scripture. A plumb line. A builder who builds knows what a plumb line is and what it does. I shared this before, but I discovered the value of a plumb line. When we were building log walls and we would let this line hang down, and I could measure and see if the measurement at the top, let's say, to the line was an inch, and then the measure at the bottom is 3 inches, then I got a problem because my wall is going in. If it is 3 inches at the top and 1 inch at the bottom, I got another problem because it's going that way. And so I need it to be the same the whole way to have a straight wall. The plumb line, this weight on the end of a string, simple, simple tool. It's been around for millennia probably. Simple tool, but it's so helpful if you want a straight wall. Today, the plumb line is the Word of God. And Jude says, I want you to remember something, beloved ones. So he commands us to remember. Why? Why this command? This is intriguing to me. Remember. I want you to remember. Here's the command. Why does he say that? Because we often forget. We often forget. Why did you have to tell your kids, or maybe you still do if they're still at home, you have to remind them about chores? And sometimes when you say, you didn't do that chore, you didn't take out the trash. And what is the common response? I forgot. Why are you telling me over and over? Because you forgot. That's why. And we forget. And so he says, remember. We need continual reminders to do what is right and godly. Over and over, we need to hear the word of God. I am so glad you are here today. I love being together. I'm glad we're here in this auditorium today, this sanctuary. What a blessing. And Sunday after Sunday, we gather and we hear the word of God. We need the word of God, every single one of us. We need it every day, and we need it on the Lord's day together. He commands us to remember apostolic instruction. Notice verse 17. Beloved, remember what? The words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is really intriguing. Jude is appealing here to a body of truth. Perhaps it was written at this time, or perhaps it was well known because it had been spoken, but it came from apostles. He may have been referring to Peter, Paul, others. And here Jude, remember Jude is a half-brother of Jesus. A half-brother of Jesus, and he's saying, I want you to remember what the apostles, the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, what they spoke. So he is referring to their words. There's a similar verse in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice what he says here. Verse 2. Well, let's start with verse 1. 2 Peter 3, 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Peter's saying, I want to remind you that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Peter adds another category here. Probably Old Testament prophets. And of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I just quoted from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Was Jude thinking about Peter's words? You know, there's a discussion among Bible students. Did Jude borrow from Peter, or did Peter borrow from Jude? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. The Holy Spirit was responsible for both books. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gave this. But maybe Jude was talking about the words of Peter that he had heard. And Peter talks about the prophets of the Old Testament. Just notice a couple verses from Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 18 says, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. They're making a mockery of God's prophecy. The holy prophets of old spoke of mockers. Notice verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Does this describe today or what? Darkness for light, light for darkness, evil good, good evil. So Peter tells us that I want you to remember words that were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of the apostles. Jude tells us about, I want you to remember the words of the apostles, and Peter adds to it the prophets of the Old Testament. So we respond to the command to remember what had been spoken before. We have today all 66 books of God's Word. And if Jude were speaking to us today, I believe he would say this. Remember every single book of Scripture. Remember the instruction of Scripture. Remember the truth of the Word of God. So how else do we deal with these false teachers? Listen to the content. Listen to the content of what the apostles said. That's verse 18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. So the apostles, and Peter adds the holy prophets from the Old Testament, they have warned about mockers. those who turn good to evil and evil to good, those who say, is God going to fulfill his promises? They warned of these mockers in the last times. Are we in the last times? Yes. The last time is an epic from the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth to his second coming. That's the period of time exactly that we are in. Jude is writing around 65, 67 AD. In the first century, 30 some years after Jesus, he's writing this book. He is telling us what will go on in the centuries to come in Christianity. All through the years, we have had those who mock biblical Christianity. Those who even take the skin of Scripture and stuff it with humanism, stuff it with all kinds of false thinking, and say that it's godly, say that it's Christian, and it's false. It's not at all God's truth. Let's suppose that I come to your house and you say, I would like to share some cake and coffee with you. And I see this beautiful cake. And you cut it and you serve a piece onto my plate and you've poured coffee. And you say, there's one thing I need you to know before you eat your cake. I say, well, what is that? He said, well, I ran out of sugar and so I used a can of Drano in the cake. And so I think you'll really enjoy it, but it may have a little different texture or a little different flavor. Would I eat that cake? I'd say, you're trying to kill me. You say, yeah, but the icing is beautiful. Look at the icing. It's delicious. I tasted it. The icing's really good. You'll love the icing. I say, but at the core, it has poison. And so it's no good. I'm sorry. I can't take this. You know, the devil is great about putting poison, Drano, and make it look so good. The cake looks so good. It's poisonous. At the core, there is the mockery, the anti-biblical beliefs. So people would arise who ridiculed the Christian faith. And Jude is dealing with them. He's dealing with them here. This would happen in the last time, that period of time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. And these apostles and the holy prophets, they informed that mockers would do this. Verse 18, they would walk, they would follow their own ungodly lust. Judas already told us about that in verse 16, lust chasers. He's repeating the idea here. They're walking according to the drumbeat of their lusts. Here are two translations. That they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. Here's another one. For they said to you, in the end time there will come scoffers propelled by their own ungodly lusts. So Jude's teaching was confirmed by what apostles had already taught. He had told this here, and he said, the apostles told us beforehand that there would be false teaching that would infiltrate. So let's do something today. If you have your Bible there, if you don't, you can get one out of the pew, or if you're following on your phone, will you just hold it up? Just hold it up right now. Okay? All right, we're going to have a few minutes of exercise, all right? Not this, not lifting weights with your Bible, but I want you to go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to see what very likely was the thing that Jude was referring to here. So understand this. There is truth out there that's been spoken by apostles. And Jude is saying, I want you to remember that, my friend. I want to recall to your mind the warnings that were given there about these mockers that would come who are walking after their own ungodly lusts and desires. So we want to go back first to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to go quickly. But I want you to notice, first of all, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This really forms the foundation for all that the apostles taught. Matthew chapter 7, remember Jesus' words here, starting with verse 15. By the way, Matthew 7, 1 is one of the best known verses by unsaved people. Judge not that you be not judged. They're very quick to throw that verse out whenever you begin to exercise biblical discernment. But I want you to notice what Jesus did after saying that in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. So whatever else he meant by judge not, he did not mean that we should not exercise discernment and that we should not use the plumb line of Scripture. So Jesus says here, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Growing up in St. Petersburg, Florida, we had the blessing of having citrus trees in our yard. And we had this tree that bore tangerines. And it had all kinds of tangerines. They weren't very big, but my mom found a way to make something delicious out of them, and she would juice them. They had a lot of seeds, and that tangerine juice was absolutely wonderful. And she would blend it and so on. It was really good. But we also had a grapefruit tree. Guess what? Tangerines didn't grow on the grapefruit tree. Grapefruits didn't grow on the tangerine tree. And we also had sandburrs in the yard. The tangerine tree didn't produce sandburrs. It produced fruit. You see, a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And Jesus said here, by their fruits you know them. I go to the grapefruit tree and see a big yellow thing there, and I know this is a grapefruit tree. I don't say, oh, look at that tangerine. Must have really expanded. I don't think that. So what a powerful principle Jesus gave here. Now notice the warning, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, let us understand this verse. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We have cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. False teachers at the core was poison, even though there was dressing on the outside that looked so impressive. Jesus' words are to be remembered here. The Gospel of Matthew was probably written in the 50s to 60s. So about 25 years after Jesus was on this earth, Jude undoubtedly knew about this and about this truth. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is teaching here about the tribulation period. Matthew chapter 24. Notice what he says in verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. Notice verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Notice verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, great icing on the cake, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Jude undoubtedly was aware of these words. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And here is the Apostle Paul meeting with the elders, the pastors of the church at Ephesus. And notice what he says, Acts chapter 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Acts was written probably 61, 62 AD. Did you know about Paul's appeal to the elders? It's my guess that he did. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verses 3 and 4. Oh, I love these words. Let's back up to verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Paul says to the Corinthians, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When I was 15, I had a life-changing mission trip from my home in St. Petersburg, Florida, all the way out to the Navajo Indian Reservation. And there was a faithful missionary there and a faithful work, working with a neglected people group right within our own borders, the Navajo Indians. And I remember we went to this church that was well known for its choir, the Crystal Church. It was in a place called Crystal. I think it was New Mexico or Arizona, I forget which state. But I remember what was near to that church, what was near to it, the building of a cult. And we're remote, we're out in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. And yet there was the cult. False teaching. And Paul said, I love you, Corinthians. I've betrothed you to Christ, and I'm fearful that the devil may creep in by his craftiness and corrupt your mind from the simplicity of the gospel message, the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude had the same burden. Beloved, remember the words of the apostles. Go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and verses 6 through 9. You should see as we go book by book that this was a problem already in the early days of the Christian church, shortly after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel, he says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. But Paul, aren't you being a little harsh? Actually, no, that's right. He's being truthful. Because what's at stake is eternity, heaven or hell. And you have a gospel that's not a gospel. You have a cake that's really poison. And it does not give the delight to the soul and forgiveness of sins. And it causes people to end up in a Christless eternity. No wonder Paul was so vehement here. In Galatians, written probably AD 49 or 50, shortly after Jesus was here on this earth, and Paul says, it's amazing to me that you're turning to listen to those who want to add works to salvation. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Do demons teach? Yes. What do they teach? False doctrine. Doctrines of demons. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. False teaching often wants to control something. They have it wrong about salvation, being saved, but they get off on celibacy or some kind of dietary laws or restriction. And he says here, no, God created these foods to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. 1 Timothy 63 AD. Did Jude know about these words? Did he read? Did he have a copy of 1 Timothy? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But get this, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. There's icing on the cake. A form of godliness. From such people turn away. And then one more. 2 Peter, and we already looked at that, but let's go there again. Chapter 3, and Peter tells his audience, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, because Peter was an apostle, the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. So Jude now writes and he says, brothers, I want you to remember the words of the apostles. Which of these did he have in mind? Well, he doesn't tell us. But here we have sampled words from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, from Matthew, the words of Jesus himself. And so Jude is saying, beloved, deal with the false teachers by understanding the contrast. No matter what they do, here's what you need to do. You need to focus on God's truth. Obey the command. Remember, think. It's important that you think. It's important that you adjust your minds to God's wonderful truth. It is important that you submit your thinking to the truth of Scripture. Listen to the content. They have warned us that there would be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own deceitful lusts. So let me summarize it like this. In the very first century, here we are, the year 2020. Let's go back to the year 33. The year 33. Jesus dies on the cross. He's buried. He rises again. He ascends to heaven. The church is born on the day of Pentecost. It begins to multiply. It goes through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And right away, false teaching moves in. And Paul says, let him be accursed who has another gospel. Because the devil wants to attack the truth to destroy it so lives are destroyed. So in the very first century among the Christians, there was a regular diet of teaching about the danger of false teachers. We just saw it, and that's just a sample. A regular diet of teaching about watch out for false teachers. In time, this was written down for us. In Jude's day, there were many things that were written, whether he had read the actual writings or he had heard them. He refers to them, the teachings, the words of the apostles. And the others were aware of them too, the beloved ones, because he said, remember those. Remember those words. We see that plenty was written before Jude wrote. So he could very likely have been referring to that which was written down. It seems like it was common knowledge among God's people that we have to be biblically discerning. We have to biblically think. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because salvation depends on God's absolute truth. There is a phrase that's common today. If you listen closely, you may hear it on the news, you may hear it somewhere else, and it goes something like this. Well, that's his truth. Well, that's her truth. Well, that's according to them, their truth. And what it's saying is there is no absolute truth. And this can creep into the church, into religious circles, into Christianity, where it's all flexible. No absolutes. We can watch it before our eyes. Hear denominations debating and wondering, well, is it okay? Yeah, probably it is. We should readjust our thinking to homosexuality. It's a product of postmodern thinking. No absolute truth. And God calls upon us to remember truth. Absolute truth, because God has given us truth. Old and New Testament. And Jude was telling the people, remember the words. Remember the truth. Our salvation depends on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It cannot be that you have your truth, you have your truth, you have your truth, and I have my truth. No, we all need to submit to God's truth. Because God has given us truth. Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Thy word is truth. And so we know what is true. Let me close with these applications. God has given us a roadmap for salvation and for the Christian life. Praise God for this. We do not have to wonder about how to be saved. It's right here. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ. It's not what Jesus has done plus what we do. It's what Jesus has done. We believe that. We accept that. And friend, if you've not made it personal, if you've not personally believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand that we've all sinned. Understand that God loved us and sent Jesus to die on the cross. He rose again the third day. And that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the Lord to save you. Trust in Christ alone. We have it right here, recorded in Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Here's an application for the saved people, the beloved ones. God wants His people to love Him with our minds and be willing to think His thoughts after Him. Turn off the TV, turn off the computer, and open up your Bible and meditate on the Word of God and think God's thoughts after Him. We cannot afford to forget, but we must remember the words of God spoken through His servants by the power of the Holy Spirit, recorded for us in 66 amazing supernatural books, the Holy Bible. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, that we are reminded by Jude to remember. Lord, it's so easy for us to forget. And Lord, I pray that You will help each of us to let the Bible be our daily manual, our daily roadmap. And Lord, where our thinking is wrong, just flatly wrong, Lord, will You correct us? Thank You that the Word of God is profitable for correction. And Lord, I pray for anyone who may hear the message today, who's on the wrong track of salvation. They're following the devil's deception and lies. Lord, maybe there's someone burdened down with a load of weight and guilt, thinking that they've got to do so many things to be saved. Lord, show them the wonders of the gospel, that it's believing what Christ has done, not trying to save oneself. Lord, maybe there's someone loaded down with guilt, saying, God can't forgive me. Show them, Lord, the thoroughness of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness that comes through His name. And Father, I pray that You will help Your people. Help us to think biblically. Help us to mind the truths of Scripture. Help us, Lord, to love You with all our minds. And Lord, cause us to be discerning. We pray for the people of God around the globe today, that there would be biblical discernment, that then the world will see there's a difference between Christians and those who are not Christians, because they have the light of Scripture. They have the light of the Spirit of God shining in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you will do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.